Okay, so thank you, and we'll move on with our second presentation. Dr. Jeff Dwyer became director of Michigan State University Extension in 2016 and added the title of Senior Associate Dean of Outreach and Engagement of the Michigan State University College of Agricultural and Natural Resources to his responsibilities in 2017. A sociologist by training, Dr. Dwyer focuses his energies on finding new ways to bring transformational education to Extension's traditional audiences while expanding the organization's reach to new audiences. Michigan State University's Extension's roughly 600 faculty and staff members follow this philosophy in the hopes of making Michigan a better place to grow a business, raise a family, operate a farm, or thrive as a community. Previously, Dr. Dwyer was a Senior Associate Dean for Research and Community Engagement in Michigan State University's College of Human Medicine. There, he honed his skills in facilitating multi-site collaboration, establishing university-wide linkages, and building the infrastructure needed to sustain a statewide research network. Dr. Dwyer continues these practices in his role with Michigan State University Extension, where he has challenged the organization to act quickly to help Michigan residents get in front of emerging issues, such as the Flint water crisis, the increase of suicide rates in the agricultural community, the opioid epidemic, and the effects of contaminated drinking water. Dr. Dwyer has a bachelor's degree in sociology from California Lutheran University and a doctorate in sociology from the University of Florida. Thank you, Dr. Dwyer, for being here today, and I'll turn the floor over to you.
Thank you, Shannon, very much, and it's really a pleasure to be a part of today's presentation. And let me also say that it's a privilege for me to be representing a whole team of people we have here at Michigan State University Extension, led by Dr. Courtney Cuthbertson and Dr. Cheryl Eschbach, who have really developed a strong set of programming and research around community behavioral health issues, and that includes farm stress and related issues. So I really hope to cover three broad topics, and then there's a lot of information I'll try and get through in the next few minutes. First, it's an opportunity for me to discuss important topics associated with managing stress on the farm and communicating with farmers under stress. Secondly, I hope to share with you how MSU Extension is responding to these issues and working to train others to respond to farm stress and related challenges in communities around the state of Michigan and across the country. And third, to share with all of you listening available resources that we've developed and other cooperative extension professionals have developed to have an impact on this area, and also toward the end to share with you information about a national summit on farm stress management that we're holding at the end of January. So as was mentioned, I'm a sociologist by training. I don't come from an agricultural background, and I've certainly learned a lot in my 3 years as the MSU Extension Director about agriculture, but I think the opportunity we've had to bring some of our longstanding expertise on the health side together with the trusted relationships we have in agriculture has been very important, and that's what I'd like to talk a bit about. So, you know, people often think of farming and agriculture as a very idyllic context, but we always need to remember that farming is stressful and it's a very high-risk profession. As this slide shows, farming is difficult and it's hard on the body. The Centers of Disease Control reported in 2016 that 417 farmers and farm workers died from work-related injuries. But it goes beyond that, because for all of those whom we lost in that way in 2016, many, many others are injured, and that includes back injuries, joint injuries, and the very kinds of injuries that often lead people to the use of painkillers, including opioids. And so one of the points we like to make is that, and I apologize if this sounds too simplistic, but farmers and those in agriculture are people too. And so they experienced, and we experience in agriculture, the same phenomena that affects all people in the, from the point of view of the things that lead us to be injured, unfortunately, may occasionally lead us to a fatality, but also that lead us to things like the use of opioids. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health recently examined 130 occupations and found laborers and farm owners had the highest rates of death due to stress-related conditions such as heart disease, hypertension, ulcers, and nervous disorders. And also, as you can see on the slide, opioids are also a major issue in rural areas, and that very recently the American Farm Bureau and National Farmers Union found that 3 of 4 farmers say that it would be very easy to access opioids in their environments. And so really what our emphasis is and the programming we've built is really around understanding that these conditions are out there, these conditions are serious, we need to do something about them, but also that people can learn to manage stress and to reduce the effects of unwanted stress. And that's really what we seek to teach people to do in identifying common stressors, recognizing the symptoms of stress, and actively managing stress. So what is the context for farm stress? So as Nate talked about very clearly, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, although I do have a couple of slides that we share with folks when we do this programming in the state of Michigan, but certainly the financial distress being put on farm families right now is severe. It's severe. It's important to remember that it's severe in the current context. So it's, in other words, it's important to understand that the stress can have an impact because we're trying to make payroll on Friday or at the end of next week. But stress also has long-term effects that we need to pay attention to as well. Those stress effects can sometimes lead to mental and physical health issues that happen in both the short and the long-term context. And so one of the things we try and communicate very clearly is that it's not just what's in front of us today, but the experience of stress and how that can lead to mental and physical health issues that can impact us in the short term also can lead to longer-term issues. So my colleague talked a bit earlier about price volatility. That's clearly going to continue to be an issue. And really the struggle for many farms is about a variety of things, including cash flow. But we could have also put on this slide things like farm succession among families. And so we have specific instances where we've been asked to partner with and intervene with families where their stress was not associated with the immediacy of cash flow and the struggle over immediate the immediate volatility of pricing and that sort of thing, but their stress was really associated with generations wanting the farm to stay in the family for successive generations and a lack of clarity around succeeding generations wanted that or under what conditions they could make that happen. And so I think that I'll speak as someone who came into this environment as a relative outsider in recent years, but I think what a lot of people don't understand about agriculture and about the stresses associated with farming and being in agriculture is just the multiplicity of issues that individuals and farm families and even whole communities deal with when we're dealing with agriculture. And so one of the other issues that it's important to acknowledge, and this is true in most domains, it might in some cases be especially true in agriculture and in farming, in that sometimes the stigma and gender norms associated with low levels of seeking help, the lack of interest in talking about problems, whether they're financial, physical, mental health related, is something that we certainly see in the general population, but may be particularly important to recognize in the agricultural context. half of people with mental health or substance abuse issues, less than half of people with mental health or substance abuse issues make use of related health services in any given year. And in agricultural communities, that proportion is believed to be even lower. So one approach we've used at MSU Extension, and these are available on our website, is that we've developed a dozen fact sheets on critical issue topics related to farm stress. These three, opioids in a rural farming communities, coping with grief after losing the farm, and how to cultivate a productive mindset, are just three of the examples provided to farmers and their families. They're distributed at training programs that we do that include audiences of farmers. But we also, as you will see here in just a moment, we also target a great deal of our programming to financial lenders and others in agribusiness and service sectors in agriculture. One of the things that we know well, and I'd like you to just keep in mind for the next couple of minutes, is that it's important that we address the immediacy of the issue with individuals who are experiencing stress, regardless of what's causing that stress. But it's also important that we educate people who are working with and around those who may be experiencing stress so that they understand the signs and symptoms and can be aware. And that's a great deal of our focus as well. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these next two slides, but another approach that we have developed at MSU Extension is a program called Communicating with Farmers Under Stress. And in that four-hour workshop, we do address, as Nate spent much more time focusing on, we do address causative factors, market-related conditions that impact stress. But we also address issues like communication skills, chronic stress awareness, suicide awareness, and other aspects of prevention for people that work with farmers and their families. So in that program, we address issues like this financial plot of net farm income, but many, many other issues as well. So these next couple of slides just show things that you already know, but that these plots are affecting virtually every part of agriculture, certainly in Michigan, cash crops like corn, soybeans, and wheat. And then certainly we are experiencing in Michigan just really difficult economic and other issues in the dairy industry, and we know that's having a huge impact nationwide. Just as an aside, I happened to be at a celebration event in downtown Detroit yesterday with Senator Stabenow, who is the ranking member on the Agricultural Committee, and we were celebrating the fact that the Farm Bill was signed by the House or passed by the House and the Senate last week, and we're hoping it'll be signed by the President this week. Certainly some of the elements in the Farm Bill will specifically impact dairy, but will impact other aspects of agriculture in this context as well. So communicating with farmers under stress. This workshop covers definitions of stress, the effects of cortisol on our bodies, communicating through conflict, active listening, effective listening, preparing for difficult conversations, seeing warning signs of stress in others, how to connect people to resources in the community. Activities that are involved in this session teach people how to handle stressful situations, including practical actions that they can take in trying to help people, but also address things like suicide awareness and prevention, and how to talk directly with people in distress. So objectives for this kind of community-based education in extension address a variety of farm stress situations, and we really try to help people understand how to both be aware of and manage these stressful situations so that they can understand their own individual level triggers and the things that they need to be aware of, as well as techniques for alleviating stress and where to go for additional help. So much of this programming is oriented toward what are the triggers, what can we do to alleviate the stress as we're experiencing it in a preventive or a related sense, and also importantly, where can we go for additional help, including directing others so that they can appreciate and understand what resources are available so that they can be helpful to the individual in question or to others that may encounter. So an individual's reaction to stress is highly varied, and it's often a balance between different types of resources that one has available to them. That includes material resources, psychological resources, including a sense of mastery and self-esteem, and also social resources like social support, which can come from family members, can also come from supportive organizations like faith-based organizations, local care groups, and other sorts of things, but can also come from helping organizations like Extension, Cooperative Extension, and others as well. So what are some of the causes of farm stress? And for many of you listening, these are things that you're well aware of, and some have already been mentioned. But as I said, I think one of the things that people outside agriculture and an obligation we think we have at MSU Extension is to help educate those outside Extension to really the myriad of stressors that are experienced that are really in breadth and depth, perhaps greater than any other industry we might think of. So here on this slide, everything from weather to large debt loads, government regulations, machinery breakdowns, especially those occurring at just the wrong moment. Nate referenced interest rates on loans, crop yields, livestock illnesses, commodity prices. And this is important too, right, is that sometimes all of those stressors are impacting a particular individual or individuals, but they're often experienced by the whole family and often the entire extended family. And so that all of these stressors can lead to important decisions that have an impact on well-being on the whole farm and all of those involved on the farm, and can be both short-term acute stressors as well as longer-term chronic stressors. So when farm families are stressed for long periods of time and have prolonged or chronic stress, they may experience a number of signs and symptoms. In our programs, we discuss a number of those, and we've tried to put a number of those on this slide. But there are physical signs and symptoms, emotional, behavioral, cognitive, and self-worth, which should not be underestimated. And these can have then other impacts too, like feeling overwhelmed or feeling unable to make decisions, or being overly anxious, exhibiting repetitive behavior. And these are things like calling a lender multiple times or checking today's commodity price multiple times, all things that can be a product of anxiety and chronic stress. Certainly in the general population, they may have particular impacts in agriculture. So what are some of the signs and symptoms to be aware of and that we cover in our programming? But when we're trying to teach people, here's what you need to be aware of. Those include changes in routines, noticing that the livestock being cared for seem to be in decline or not quite being cared for at the level that you might be used to. Increases in illness, increased veterinary calls, increases in farm accidents, general appearance of the farmstead, or even the person or persons involved can be signs and symptoms of chronic and prolonged stress. And it's important to be aware that these signs and symptoms may be as apparent among children as among adults. And so excessive absentees from school, physical abuse or neglect, so that there's a lot of things that we need to be aware of. One of the very quick things that we try and focus on in our programming and reaching out to those who work in agricultural sectors but may not be in farming directly is that we're trying to reach the people that are in constant contact with those in the farm community, because they're the most likely to see signs and symptoms and changes in signs and symptoms. And so, for example, one person I talked to said, you know, if you want to know if my dad, who's a, happened to be a dairy farmer with a couple of hundred head of dairy cows, the comment was, if you want my to know if my dad is experiencing distress, or if you want someone to know that, then we've got to get this programming to the milk hauler, because the milk hauler is the only one who talks to my dad every single day. And to me, that is really an important brief example behind why we have taken the approach we've taken to some of this programming. So very quickly, and just to review, so farmers can have stress for a number of different reasons. Chronic stress is very important to understand, in addition to the more acute stress that sometimes is more apparent to us. Understanding signs and symptoms so that we know how to help people, understand the triggers, understanding how, in a self-help sense, we can take responsibility through self-talk, mindful breathing, and the adoption of other coping skills, but also to learn what we can do to help people, including understanding, as we teach in mental health first aid and other programs, that we should never leave a distressed person alone. If we have to depart, we should always call a friend, a family member, or 911. So why extension? Let me say that in Michigan, of course, agriculture is a huge part of our state. Over $100 billion of the state's economy employs 22% of the state's workforce, the second most diverse agriculture industry in the country, over 300 commodities. So it's extremely important in the state of Michigan that we focus on agriculture in the traditional sense, but we also focus on the people who make it happen in agriculture. And so I would say, if I had to sum why extension, one is that there's great need out there and there's great unmet need. And in Michigan, we have over 600 full-time people in MSU Extension spread through all 83 counties in the state. And we need to be a part of educating, and we need to be a part of this solution. The second reason I'd say, as a big overarching reason for why extension, is that in an area like this, we strongly believe that we need the expertise of our health and mental health trained people, but we can't gain entree into the audience who needs this expertise without the decades-long relationships and trust built by our agricultural experts who have been working with this community for many, many, many years. And so when we started this programming almost 3 years ago, it was a small group of our health and mental health experts and our longtime agricultural experts who, by the way, had never worked together before, but who understand that they both brought half of what, they each brought half of what was needed to build the whole program around addressing stress in farming and agriculture. So as I've already alluded to, in extension, we've been able to activate our network of educators to find the target audience in farm stress programs, and we've worked hard to do that in a variety of different ways. We also have another program called Weathering the Storm, Cultivating a Productive Mindset, which is meant to address prolonged stress from the farm situation and to enhance communication among individuals, in families, and in communities. And so just as a brief overview, in the last 18 months or so, we've educated directly over 300 farmers in our Weathering the Storm programming. 90% indicated increased knowledge of the current ag financial situation. 90% were better at recognizing the warning signs of mental health illness and suicide, and 93% expressed increased knowledge of mental health resources. In the same time frame, with the Communicating with Farmers Under Stress program, we've been able to reach over 1,000 service providers in the agricultural industry, and we saw similarly high levels of improvement in understanding the impact of stress, and also the recognition of warning signs of things like depression, suicide, and mental illness. So we think an important part of all of this, especially for organizations who are supporting farmers, farm families, and farming communities, is a program called Mental Health First Aid. It's a day-long program that focuses on the signs and symptoms of mental health crises and mental health issues. I'll say in my 30 years doing this kind of work, it's the single best day-long training I have ever participated in. And like you, I've been in a lot. But this program helps to build skills in how to communicate with someone experiencing a crisis and to learn about resources to be called upon. We feel so strongly about this that a little over a year ago, I challenged our entire organization to take Mental Health First Aid. As I speak today, a little over two-thirds of our organization has taken this one-day class, and others are signed up to take it. And part of that is, and for those of you that work for organizations, whether they're small or large, we view our extension experts and extension educators as really sentinels in communities, in the public health sense of sentinels, so that they're there, they live there, they're trusted there, and they know when things are happening in their communities. And by being better informed around mental health issues, they're able to communicate to us what the needs are. So I'd just like to conclude before answering any questions you might have by inviting you to a Farm Stress Summit that we're holding at the Kellogg Conference Center here at Michigan State University, January 23rd to the 25th. As of yesterday, I think we have participants signed up from 11 states. We certainly hope that we'll grow that number and that some of you join us. But if you go to this website, you'll find a great deal of information about that. We think it's modestly priced. It's $425 for the two-day training, and that includes the curriculum associated with the training. But it'll be a marvelous opportunity to hear from our experts here at Michigan State University, but also some of our colleagues from around the country, but to really both learn about this content that we think we need to know and have better understood throughout the country, but also to meet colleagues, excuse me, from around the country who are devoting a lot of time and energy to this. The one final thing I'd like to say for those of you that are from Extension, who know Extension, who have worked with Extension for a long time, I just want to say that I think that this area of focus over the last couple of years has been important to us within MSU Extension in a way that is important to think about in the larger national cooperative extension context, because I've been asked to go to speak to other extension groups around the country related to our community behavioral health work. I'm always invited by the family or health sections of cooperative extension in other states. And every single time I present, I get questions about how I can help them convince their agricultural colleagues why this is so important. So it's just a last comment. I'd like to make the point that we also need to communicate this to leaders in extension, leaders at universities, leaders in all organizations, commodity groups, sectors that deal with farmers, farm families, and work in agriculture. We need to make sure that all leaders in those areas understand how important this is and really help us to merge the health expertise on these topics with the more traditional agricultural focus and trust embodied in those that work in agriculture. So thank you very much for your time.
Just a wonderful presentation of information, Dr. Dwyer, and thank you for that. And we do have a few questions. And I'll start out building on your closing comments, and that you had slides highlighting why extension. But maybe a little bit, let's discuss a little bit more on how extension. given the limited resources everybody faces. Do you think, in moving forward, was it a team that brought that to MSU Extension? Was it a commitment across MSU Extension to this growing area of need, or how best do you see other extension in other states taking the first steps?
Yeah, it's a great question. So let me quickly say how it happened for us and then what I think are the important elements related therein. So how this really became a focus in an immediate sense for us was 2.5 years ago, our people on the agricultural side, as commodity prices were getting lower and there was just all this financial stress, our people who work with farm families in a variety of contexts, particularly those working with families on the financial side, were just clearly communicating to us that there was a lot and other related issues that, unlike they had seen, at least for a long time, if not ever. And we were also aware, frankly, in Michigan of, at least anecdotally, what we felt was an uptick in attempted suicides and completed suicides here in the state. People were coming to him and saying that they were seeing these things. Was there anything that we could do? So it really came from an understanding at a critical moment in time that this was a huge problem in agriculture. It's a huge problem more generally, issues of suicide, opioids, et cetera. And that to be the MSU Extension that we needed to be in the 21st century, that one of the areas that we were going to have to grow was community behavioral health. So we began building a team that we are rapidly adding to. We have about 4 F's, and they work.
Yeah, that's very exciting. And then on the, you mentioned quite a few training, on that training, there was a question on initiating difficult conversations between people having stress or between family members that are exhibiting stress. And I realized that it would take probably going through all this training to address that. But do you have any quick rules of thumbs to address this person's interest on how do you initiate these difficult conversations?
Right. So you're right. It would take a long time in the training. And let me also point out, I'm not a clinician. I'm just a little old sociologist. But let me say this. One of the things I've learned throughout our development of these programs, and certainly learned from our community behavioral health experts, I guess there would be 2 things that I would say as a rule of thumb. Sometimes you don't need to start by focusing on the difficult questions you think you need to ask. You just need to start by having a conversation. And I know that sounds really simple, but I'll bet if we all thought about yesterday, there were probably a multiple of times when we could have made a choice to start a conversation with all kinds of people, and we just chose not to. And so I think one thing that's important is just sometimes initiating a conversation is the big hurdle, and you're able to, in the context of that conversation, begin to move toward the kinds of questions that you're really concerned about. And again, I want to remind, I'm not a clinician, and our experts could give you much more in that. But I think that's a critical point. The other critical point, this one I just cannot underscore enough. If you believe that someone is in distress, you must have that difficult conversation. And if as a result of that conversation, you believe they're in serious immediate distress, as I said earlier, you don't leave their side until you get someone else by their side. One of the things that we have had situations, and I'll just refer to one, we had an individual from an agriculture sector industry come to one of our sessions, communicating with farmers under stress sessions, and emailed us that evening after that session saying that when she arrived back home after that session, she walked into her living room to a situation that she had tools to deal with that she didn't have 24 hours earlier.
Yeah. Very, very powerful. I think we'll close on that question. And thank you, Dr. Dwyer, for your time. Thank you for everybody participating. And we have a few closing slides to let you and get to the point where you can download these slides today directly.